Howard had expected many things from Christy Roth, but her behavior still baffled him. He had shown her respect and hospitality, and yet she had repaid him with fear. But as he busied himself on preparing the Land Cruiser so that it could augment the bike and act as a vehicle for them both, he felt more reassured than he had just a short time earlier. It was the living shadows of the old movies that had brought them together. For his own part, he knew that the records of those times before the nuclear winter never failed to entrance and inspire him. It had been that way since Jenny had showed them to him when he was young. But he had not expected the same from Christy. And yet, she had joined him, watching the course of justice follow its natural path. She had said nothing, had not questioned. It was more than he could have hoped for. She knew. She instinctively understood what motivated him, as it motivated her and her traveling companions. He considered her friends. That was why he was preparing the Land Cruiser, after all. The idea that she should be shown the way and understand it, as he felt she did, and then help him convince the others to join him. That had been the plan, and a good one. A task force for justice. But now, it didn't seem so good. Why, he couldn't quite tell. Only that there seemed an imbalance to it. The idea of Thunder Rider and Storm Girl, though, that had a certain symmetry to it that he found appealing. For that was what she should be called. People all across the lawless wastes would know her name, and tremble in fear if they were wrongdoers, for she was wild, like the storm that swept over the land, cleansing the earth. That hair, a red fire that... He shook his head. He was getting too carried away. For all he knew, she would wish to be reunited with her companions, especially the one-eyed man, Ryan Carter. The nut he was tightening sheared from its mount and spun across the floor. He watched it, aware that it was an extra turn from him that had done this. The anger that had built in him with a rapid rage boiling over into that one violent action. And he knew what spurred that rage. Ryan Carter. He was not worthy of one such as Storm Girl. He was a good man, admittedly, but no crusader for justice and truth. There was only one who was right for Christy, and that was Thunder Rider. They would be the perfect team.
I will make you see that, Christy Roth.
He felt sure that she was already seeing this. That was why he had allowed her to return on her own. He could trust her.
Sweet Gaia, what about the other workers? Are they...
No. Myself and Hamill are like this. We were perhaps the lucky ones.
How can you say that?
It must seem strange for you to hear me say, Ms. Roth. I'll admit to that. But the others have lost far more than I. They may be ambulatory, but they have lost that vital spark.
Christy looked at Sid, or what was left of him on the table, and frowned.
Say that plain. There's a lot of words there that haven't survived outside.
Ah, I see. I apologize. It must seem as though we speak a different language sometimes. Although what you see before you is but a pale shadow of the man I once was, at least I am still myself. I have memory and character, though sometimes it fades in and out. Hamill is the same. Though we cannot leave our rooms and serve only by remote means, we can still talk to each other, can still share, and not feel alone. The other workers were placed in moving canisters to enable them to respond physically. Somewhere along the way, something left them. They have no memory of why they are as they are. No indication that they are anything other than automatons.
But to exist like this...
She put out her hand, trying not to recoil at the touch.
Better than no existence at all.
The container on the lab table looked solid, yet it yielded to her touch, the slightest amount of give. She expected it to be cold, but it was warm. It was semi-opaque, but she could still see what was within. It was translucent. The liquid surrounding Sid was greenish in hue, though she couldn't be sure that that wasn't due to the color of the membranous container. What was in the container seemed too still for something that was alive, and had spoken to her. She'd seen old Whitecoat stories from before Skydark, and in them, disembodied brains were attached by wires in tanks of bubbling liquid, and they pulsed in time with the rhythm of their words. But Sid did none of this. He, and it was hard to think of that thing as a he, as the voice that had spoken so warmly to her, sat inert in the middle of the tank, suspended in the thick, viscous liquid within the container that was not the plexiglass she would have expected, but something that resembled a living organism.
You have nothing to fear. As you must have guessed, I can only hurt you through the use of the complex's facilities. But I realize how strange and perhaps frightening I must look. Oh, I have eyes, not in the sense that I used to, but I have signals from all cameras fed to me. There is one in this room, as in all others. Myself and Hamill, we know what we have become.
But how?
How did this happen? How can I still be alive? And yes, I do consider myself alive. I still know, think, feel. But I digress. To answer the second question, it would be difficult to explain to someone like yourself, who has only known the world after nuclear winter. If I tell you that scientists before that time had developed an organic material that is tough and allows me to breathe, would you understand that?
Yes.
I communicate via the liquid in which I am suspended. Workers replace it to feed me the nutrients that enable my brain tissue not to decay. In this liquid are small circuits, what we called nanotech before the war, and these are intelligent and tiny. They fulfill the function of wires and cables. They're like mechanical insects that carry information to and from me, enabling me to operate the complex.
Whoever your original boss was had to have had serious jack, as this is up there with the best tech we've ever seen in old Secredouts.
It has been a long time since someone like yourself talked to me. You know that we have intel about you, know some of what you have experienced.
The way Howard talked to us, to me, was kind of a giveaway.
You are right in your assumptions in many ways. Howard comes from a family that wielded both great wealth and great power in the times before the Holocaust. They were people who had contacts in every level of both the government and the military. He comes from a line that started with a namesake of his, a man who, in his time, had the kind of fame about which people in this new society can have no notion. He was feted. I'm sorry. It's easy to forget that this is the same language, and yet not. I should say that in the days of global videos, everyone had seen and knew the name of Howard's ancestor. The industry he established, the money and contacts he made, these were continued after his death. Many people knew what was coming with the Holocaust. If you have ever seen any remains of pre-Holocaust history in book or on video, then you may know this. For the ordinary people, it was a surprise, but for those with the kinds of contacts this family had, it was something that was common knowledge and accepted as an inevitability. So they had to plan for it. Their businesses supplied arms, technology, and the service industries that, in turn, supplied other sectors of these industries. How can I explain in terms that you could easily grasp?
I'm not that stupid. I can get the meaning of what you're saying, even if some of the details are...
My apologies. You misunderstand me. I know you can grasp the essentials, but the extent of this family's influence in this place you now call the Deathlands, I don't know if... Well, let me put it this way. Imagine the man you knew as the trader. Imagine that his trading network extended the breadth of the land. Further, imagine that all other traders relied upon him, so that if people were not bartering and buying from him, then they were doing it from traders who then had to go to him, with a percentage of their jack going into his stockpile. Imagine this, and that not another soul except trader, perhaps yourself and your friends, knew about it. A network that was all-encompassing, and also mostly a secret.
That would make Howard's family one of, maybe the most powerful on Earth. And also the most private, right?
Yeah, I think you have it now. Imagine that extent of power and how you could use your contacts, those who owed you, and the technologies you had helped develop and have access to secure a future for your people.
I don't have to imagine, do I? I'm standing in it.
Correct. You know of the totality concept. Your friend Dr. Tanner was a victim of one of its divisions. Much of the knowledge behind the execution of that concept came from people controlled in one way or another by Howard's ancestors and their businesses. They were able to cherry-pick, to choose the best parts, those that both worked best and served their purpose best, and then utilize them. They were also able to use the pressure of those contacts, what they knew, to keep this a secret.
So where do you fit into this?
I was what you would call a white coat. My specialty was guidance and security systems. The defense technology around this complex is my work. I warn you, Ms. Roth, that if your friends come looking for you, as I am sure they will from my knowledge of them, they will find it impossible to get near here without dying.
Well, can't you turn the systems off, or at least alter them so that the attacks would not be direct, give them a chance to escape?
Christy, if I could do this, I would. There are many things I would do if it were possible. But although Hamill and myself retain some essential part of ourselves, we do not have control over that.
Sid, is there anything I can do for you?
No, Christy. I don't think that it is possible. I will try to help you if you want to escape, but it will not be easy. I would advise you not to, knowing the complex as I do, and also how powerless both myself and Hamill are ultimately. But from what I know of you, I think that will not prevent you from trying. If only I had that courage when I was able.
You have courage. To continue as you are.
You know, I never really knew Hamill until this happened to us. Why we were selected for this task, I don't know. I suspect that we were not only the right experts, but the right kind of men. Weak men, when we were men. And there were many workers down here in those days. But in the long, long years since this happened to us, I have got to know Hamill better than anyone I ever knew when I was whole. I think I could say the same of him.
Where is he?
In another room. We talked, and I said I would face you. He is more ashamed of this than I am. I was always good at denying the reality of a situation. We have a pact. We are fed images from security cameras across the complex. These are always with us. But I do not look at Hamill, and he does not look at me. We have those cameras blocked. We prefer to think of each other as we were.
Christy felt an overwhelming sadness washing through her. There had to be something she could do to help them. But that was assuming that she would even be able to help herself.
You should go. Howard has finished in the mechanics bay. He will probably be looking for you. Go to your room. Say you have been sleeping. I can loop footage if he wants to check records. There's not much I can do, but there is that. If you want to know more, I can also allow you access to the mainframe from the terminal in your room, removing some of the security codes. But this can only be done temporarily. Now go.
It was strange, but Christy felt reluctant to leave him. The being in the room looked more alien than human, yet it knew more of humanity than Howard ever would. Sid needed her, had shared with her a form of contact that he had missed for so long. But she knew that he was right. At all costs, she had to humor Howard until she had a plan of action. So she left without another word, returning to her room without pause. Her head was spinning with what Sid had told her, that people could do this to each other. The world she lived in was brutal and harsh, but somehow this was worse. As she lay on the bed, she looked at the room around her. The pastel colors, the pre-dark feminine flounces, all seemed to be mocking her. They were the tainted remnants of a corrupt culture. Maybe Skydark had been a good thing if it had cleansed the world of people who did things like this. Then she thought of the people they had crossed in the Deathlands. The only thing separating them from the likes of Howard and his ancestors was access to technology. She lay back to wait for Howard and to try to work out what she would do next.